Our reading this morning is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, I invite you this morning to grab your Bible nearby and open back up again to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. It's been read already, but I want to refer back to it as we go through it this morning. Well, as already has been prayed for this morning, this church, as I understand it, is on the lookout for a new pastor. But hopefully, the process of searching and finding the Lord's man to serve here will be picking up steam in the days ahead. Now, I want to ask a funny question in light of that. What do you want in a pastor? And I don't need to answer out loud, but already probably ideas or thoughts are coming to your mind. What kind of a pastor do you want? What kind of man should he be? What skills should he have? What's essential for a man who will serve the Lord as a pastor? Now, over the years in the evangelical press, I've seen lots of adverts for churches that had developed their pastoral search. In fact, I just grabbed a copy of Evangelicals Now that was at hand this week. And just at the back of it, there's a listings for four or five different churches looking for pastors. And these descriptions all, if I were to summarize, say roughly the same sorts of things. They say things like a godly preacher, a servant leader, a team player, a good organizer, a leader in evangelism, godly, experienced, loves Jesus, sound theology, and in more than one, the word passionate appeared. Clearly, churches want passionate pastors. Now, these things are all good and right insofar as they go, aren't they? Never in an advert like this does a church write something like, we want a bull in a china shop. That's what we really want. We want one who will come in and will very little develop relationships with people, will stir up conflict, and it will move on after a few years. No church says that, right? Nobody wants that. No one wants someone who will breeze in like that bull in a china shop and breeze out a few years later. But most certainly, every church that advertises for a pastor is concerned that that might happen. So with this negative idea, as well as these positive descriptions, churches receive applications. This is often how the process goes. And regularly, something like a beauty pageant proceeds to follow. That's often the way it goes. Questions like, well, who's the best? Or who do we like the most, tend to dominate the thinking and conversations. Now, amidst the uncertainty and the real concerns, it's so important from the outset to go back to the Bible and to ask ourselves the question, what does the Bible say we should want in a pastor? What does the Bible urge us to be looking for in a pastor as that process of search begins here? Now, foundationally, the Bible doesn't talk about skills, as we often do. It talks about some skills. It doesn't necessarily even talk about passion, although that's certainly important. What the Bible does do again and again and again is talk about the sort of man that he should be. Character, yes, but even more so the orientation or the direction of his life. Now let me spell it out just quickly before we get to Scripture together. According to Scripture, you want a man here who's a shepherd. Who's a shepherd? That's the sort of man that you want. Yes, borrowing from animal husbandry, sheep and rams and lambs and ewes. The shepherd is the defining image of a pastor right the way across the Bible. This is the sort of man that you want here. It's the sort of man every Bible-believing church wants. Yes, with the skills and character that follow on from it, but foundationally, a man who's a shepherd. Now, before we get to Psalm 23, and we'll walk through this psalm together, I want to drive this idea home from the New Testament, first of all, to begin with. So keep Psalm 23, don't turn the page, but just listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 5. As Peter encourages elders what their job is to be. In 1 Peter 5, Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them." So what are the elders supposed to be and to do? They're to be shepherds. The same language is picked up by the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts as he speaks in his final conversation with the Ephesian elders. Here's what he says to them. He says to the Ephesian elders, "Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Well, there's Paul's encouragement, a shepherd of a people, of a church, those people who've been bought by the blood of Christ, that flock that Christ has gathered, they need a shepherd. Now, but how will we know how to spot a shepherd? How will we know a shepherd when we see one? Well, the first step is to know what a shepherd looks like. What does a shepherd look like? Well, Psalm 23 is where we're turning this morning. In Psalm 23, we find the ideal shepherd, don't we? Arguably, this passage, which was read this morning for us, is one of the most famous and well-known bits of the whole Bible. It's hard to think of one that's better known than this, right? Many of you may have even memorized portions of this. And likely as it was read this morning in the NIV, you remembered back to the Authorized or King James Version, which is the more well-known translation, isn't it? Now, Psalm 23 this morning, on the surface, it's not about a church pastor. Not on the surface. Psalm 23, of course, if you look down at it again, is about the Lord God. It's about the Lord God, specifically, of course, the Lord Jesus, right? Jesus is the good shepherd. The Lord God is the shepherd of his people. But you remember Jesus' words, don't you? In John chapter 10, Jesus said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the perfect illustration of what Psalm 23 depicts. So if you're here today and you're new to Christianity, well, this is something of what Jesus is like. Look down at Psalm 23 again, page 555, if you don't have it open. Look there. That's what Jesus is like. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But what has the Lord Jesus done? He's borne the punishment of our sin upon himself. He lays his life down for his sheep. He brings together people from all different backgrounds and walks of life, all those who turn from their sin and their rebellion and to him in faith. He gathers them together. They're cleansed of their sin. They're given a new life, and they're a part of the people of God. This is what Jesus does. This is what Psalm 23 is all about. But I ask the question again, where better this morning to see what you want in a pastor than to consider the Lord Jesus Christ from Psalm 23? This is a great place to look, to think about what is it we want in a pastor as a church. So in the brief time we have this morning, I want to draw our attention to Psalm 23, this ideal shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and I want you to think about with me what you want in a pastor. Now, there's just one final item before we walk through this psalm together that's worth noting. I'm assuming here what the Bible everywhere explicitly teaches, that the office of an elder or pastor is rightly reserved for men. So you're going to hear me refer to that again and again this morning. But just notice that as we come to Psalm 23. So according to Psalm 23, what do you want a man to be in a pastor? You want a man who, first off, look at verse 1, has a shepherd's heart. That's what you want. Primarily, firstly, those first lines, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Under the chief shepherd, Jesus, a pastor is to have this sort of disposition, this sort of heart. This is really, church, the fundamental feature you're looking for. A man who thinks like a shepherd, a man who acts like a shepherd, a man who sees himself as a shepherd. The direction of his life, shepherd. Right? The pastor's job, as we'll see, is one of care for the sheep entrusted to him. What does the Lord do but shepherd his people? What does the Lord Jesus do but serve as a shepherd who's laid his life down for his sheep? So therefore, more specifically, a pastor with this shepherd's heart cares for the souls of the sheep in his flock. Now, in an actual field with real sheep, there can't be confusion on this, can there? The shepherd in the field can't be confused about what his job is. If the shepherd is too interested in YouTube videos or woodworking or in football, sheep's lives are at stake. Sheep die. The shepherd in the field has to think, I have sheep, and I'm responsible for them. I must look after them. I must care for them. Souls are at stake. Do you see the disposition of our Lord here? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That must be the same disposition of a pastor in a local church. Now, I won't spend too long here, but the qualifications for pastors and elders listed out in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3 assume this heart behind them. This assume this direction of one's life. You may remember some of the lists there in Titus 1 or in 1 Timothy 3. In fact, I'd really urge you to look at them later. Take some time this afternoon. Think about those lists of qualifications. But the list in Titus goes something like this. A man must be blameless, faithful to his wife. His children and his household must be managed well. He must not be overbearing. He must not be quick-tempered. He must not be a drunk or be violent or be selfish. But he must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Well, that's the list just from Titus chapter 1. Doesn't that sound just about right for the life of a shepherd? Isn't that the sort of man you want to have as a pastor? The character you'd want in a man who's to be shepherd of the souls of Christ's sheep in a local church. But one final thing to notice from Psalm 23 in the first half of verse 1. A man isn't meant to just have the heart of a shepherd. He's also meant to be humble, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, right? Now, we know we lack on our own, but with the Lord, who's our shepherd, leading us and providing for us, we have what we need. Well, so must the heart of a pastor be a humble heart. He knows he lacks in and of himself, and so he constantly directs attention back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the chief shepherd who has all that we need to meet our needs. Jesus is our help. Jesus is our sufficiency. Jesus is what the church most needs. So let me ask some questions in light of this first characteristic, the heart of a shepherd, drawn from Psalm 23. Some questions to consider as this pastoral search process begins. And you'll hear me do this with each attribute as we work our way through these verses. Good questions to ask of any man who might potentially be a pastor. Does this man care for me? Does he care for me? Does he care for my family? Does he care about the lost in our community? Does he want to see more sheep brought in? Does he love people for the good of their souls? That's what our Lord does, right? Our Lord who's a shepherd. Is he willing? Is he willing, this potential pastor? Is he willing to make sacrifices? Is he willing to sacrifice himself and his family for the church? Because of course you will expect him to from time to time, and he ought to be willing to do so. At the same time, though, is he willing to sacrifice you for his wife and family? Because of course you must encourage him to do that as well. Both are necessary. He must have a sacrificial, servant-like heart to care for the souls of those entrusted to him. Does he admit his weaknesses? And does he ask for help? Does he think of himself as a sheep of the Lord Jesus, just as much as he's a shepherd of a local flock? Those are the kinds of questions you want to be thinking about as you consider a man. Does he have the heart of a shepherd? Well, let's quickly move through these verses and see a few more attributes you want to look out for. Secondly, you want a man who, verses 2 and 3, refreshes your souls. You want a man who refreshes your souls. I love verse 2. In verse 2, we read, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a delight to his church. This is the refreshment he gives. He brings peace and rest and refreshment. Isn't that encouraging for you if your life feels hurried and busied and harassed? Such wonderful imagery. I don't know if there's a more relaxing and refreshing picture in all of Scripture than what we read here in verse 2. And so the pastor should bring refreshment to the church. That's what pastors should do with the people of God. Pastors know that man does not live on bread alone. And so he does so. He refreshes the souls of Christ's sheep by the word of God. He preaches God's word, he teaches God's word, he privately serves up God's word in personal conversations. He ministers God's word to refresh the souls of God's people. And in order to refresh souls, he knows he needs ample time to pray and search the scriptures. Because this is the storehouse, isn't it? From where he brings out the word which feeds the souls of God's people. Friends, isn't this what you want? Isn't this what you want, a shepherd who prays and studies the word of God and refreshes your souls with it? Isn't that what you need? So some questions to consider quickly under this second attribute. As you consider any man, ask yourself the question, is the man being considered, does he preach and teach the word faithfully? Faithfully. Now, not do I enjoy his preaching style or I find him easy to listen to. No, does he faithfully open and present the word of God? It may not be flashy, it may not be exciting, but does he lead you to feed on the good grass of the word of God? Psalm 23, because that's what your souls need. Does he see preaching and teaching as a part of his overall shepherding work? It's not the only thing he's about. He's about the souls of Christ's sheep, but of course he wants to preach and teach the word of God, because that's the main means by which he refreshes the souls of God's people. But ask another question on this same point as well. Does his preaching seem as if he knows you? As if he knows you, or at least that he's thinking of you as he prepares to feed you God's word. You see, so many preach sermons that can be preached anywhere and to anybody. And that's a perfectly legitimate thing, but if it's bare doctrine and bare explanation, that's not shepherding, right? Does he seek to apply the Bible to your life, to your problems, to your fears? Does he encourage you to grow in maturity as a follower of Christ? Does he refresh your soul? That's the second attribute you want to look out for, drawn from Psalm 23. But let me quickly move on to the third attribute you want to listen to. Thirdly, you want a man who helps you live better. Don't you want to live better? Don't you want to live well? Listen to verse 3, the second half there. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. You need directions, don't you? I need directions. I need directions in my car just to drive here this morning, right? You need directions to get the bus to Infield or wherever it is you want to go. You know that you need help and direction to live your life well. Well, isn't that what's on offer here? The Lord is the shepherd of his people. The Lord guides his people along right paths for the Lord's name's sake. And so a godly pastor teaches you Jesus' character. He teaches you Jesus' commands, and he actually expects you to follow Jesus, right? And to obey Jesus' commands. That's what pastors do. He doesn't micromanage your life. He doesn't tell you how to live and make every decision of your life. But he does train you in righteousness. He wants to guide you along the right paths for the sake of God's glorious name. Isn't that what 2 Timothy tells us the Word of God does? 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17 say, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and listen to this, and training in righteousness." Well, that's what's described here, right? Verse 3, "He guides me along right paths for his name's sake." So a pastor aims by the Word of God to renew your mind, that you grow in wisdom, that you walk on right paths, and you do so all for the glory of God's name. That's verse 3. So a shepherd, doesn't he? A shepherd out in the field, he wants sheep who are healthy. He wants sheep who are well-fed, sheep who are safe and happy sheep. If he's a shepherd who's worth anything, he wants better returns, doesn't he? He wants more wool produced or whatever it might be. Well, friends, so a pastor leads you into love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to result in your life to the glory of God's name. So ask yourself these questions in light of this third characteristic. Ask yourself questions like this as you consider any man. Will this man speak with authority? Right? The Lord Jesus, what was his teaching characterized by? But he spoke with authority. That's right. Will the man who you're considering speak with authority, or will he apologize for the Bible, as is so often done today? Ask questions like, is he, as far as I can tell, walking wisely himself? That's the key to knowing, will he help you to walk wisely? Look out for that, right? Third characteristic, he helps you to live better. Fourth characteristic, John from verse 4, fourth characteristic you want to look out for. Fourthly, you want a man who will be with you in life's worst moments. He'll be with you in life's worst moments. Now, many of you already know the valley of the shadow of death. You've experienced it. If you have not done so yet, you will do so one day. Isn't it true, in the valley of the shadow of death, for those of you who have been there, that Jesus' presence with you is your greatest comfort? Jesus' presence with you in the valley of the shadow of death gives you courage. Well, look at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," or the valley of the shadow of death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." A good shepherd, a good pastor, physically represents Jesus in the darkest valleys. That's what shepherds do. Yes, he'll bring biblical truth in those dark valleys, but mostly he brings his presence and his love. He will be, he must be with his sheep when the worst strikes. That's the kind of shepherd you want. Someone who's with you when you go through the darkest valleys. So questions to consider under this fourth attribute. As you consider a man, ask yourself, is he the kind of man I want holding my hand in my lounge when I'm lonely or when I'm discouraged? Is he the kind of man I want holding my hand when I'm at the hospital and I get that diagnosis I don't want? Is he the kind of man who will be with me in the funeral directors when I've lost a loved one? Will he be there holding my hand in the coffee shop when I've lost my job? Will he be there holding my hand when I'm on my own deathbed? That's the sort of man described here in Psalm 23. That's what our Lord Jesus does for us. That's the kind of shepherd you're looking for. But you also, most certainly, I must ask the question, because we know we need not fear evil when our Lord Jesus is with us. So ask yourself the question as well, when evil presses in, when you've failed again, when you've fallen into sin as you always do, or when temptation presses in on you, or when you're badgered by false teaching, right? Will this man be there to help you? Will he be there at your side? Will he dispatch wolves? Will he be there to help you along the journey following the Lord Jesus? Fourth characteristic, you want him to be with you in life's worst moments. Fifth characteristic, drawing from the next couple of verses, or next verse, verse 4, you want a man who, verse 4, the second half, says no to you. You want a man who says no to you, verse 4. You don't want a yes man. You don't want a people pleaser and a pastor, right? Someone who comes along and flatters you, they will help you feel good about yourself today, right? That's what flatterers do. You get quite happy in yourself when someone flatters you. But long term, a flatterer brings you pain. But look at verse 4. The Lord Jesus is not afraid to use his rod and his staff. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff, for any shepherd out in the field, right, they're instruments of direction and of correction. A shepherd wants you to have long-term spiritual health. He wants your comfort, as it says in verse 4. And so he corrects you. He tells you no. And he does so in love for your good. Again, you want a man like the Lord Jesus Christ, a man who pursues wandering sheep, a man who welcomes back strays, a man who nudges and prods and pulls you back on the way, right? You want a man like that, a man who will use his rod and his staff to comfort you. So think, as you consider any man in the days ahead, will this man say hard things with love? Because that's what you need, don't you? Someone who say hard things to you, but with a loving embrace. Ask yourself, does he have the courage and the tenderness that are needed? And if you struggle to see this in any man, because it's hard to analyze this or to know this reality, you can ask yourself, does he discipline his children if he has some? Is that obvious? Because that's where Titus and 1 Timothy 3 point us. Do his children run wild, or does he discipline them? See, a man who doesn't lovingly say no to his family, to his wife and his children, won't do so to you either. He won't tell you no when you need to be told no. And this is why in Titus chapter 1, verse 6, we read that a man who's to be an elder in a local church must manage his household well. Because how can he manage the household of God if he's not managing his own home well? So fifthly, look for a man who says no to you, verse 4, the second half. Sixthly, there's two more, this is the penultimate one. Sixthly, you want a man as a shepherd who will be on the lookout for your enemies. Who will be on the lookout for your enemies. Look at verse 5, the first half there. Now, as we read those words, we remember David, obviously, who penned this psalm. David, the preeminent Old Testament shepherd, spoke of defeating lions. Do you remember that? In the run-up to David and his time with Goliath, David spoke of defeating lions and bears, all in order to protect his flock, didn't he? Just like the Apostle Paul warns the Ephesian elders that wolves will come up from within God's people. Well, we see in verse 5 that a shepherd, a pastor, is too to be on guard. He's savvy, he's aware. He has his ear to the ground regarding false teachers, regarding issues that are present in society, regarding potential dangers or attacks. And such is his protection, this shepherd, that he prepares a table for us in plain view of our enemies. It's said of the Lord here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This is what our great shepherd does. He protects us so that we actually have a fellowship meal in the presence of the dangers that surround us. Blessing is upon the people of God because he anoints our head with oil. And this is what a pastor is to do. He's to lovingly lead us in the Lord's Supper. That's our fellowship meal. That's our feast, our banquet, remembering our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also, any pastor who's worth his weight, he encourages joyful fellowship even when there are dangers about. That's what a pastor does. So questions to ask in light of this characteristic. Ask yourself questions like, as you consider any man, does he have a measure of cultural awareness? Does he know what the world around us is like? Does he see and respond to the issues in our day? The issues that are particularly pressing for us in the 21st century are issues like sexuality and gender, manhood and womanhood. Those especially are difficult issues today. Does he know about these issues? Does he think well about these issues? Is he careful as he responds to these issues? But of course, an obvious way to know if he's the sort of man who's on the lookout for enemies is you can listen to his prayers. Listen to how he prays. Listen to how he prays, because will he pray with you? Will he pray for you? Will he teach you to pray as he prays? He knows ultimately, any pastor who's worth his weight knows ultimately that it's the Lord who protects us. That it's the Lord who brings blessing upon his people. It's the Lord who allows us to eat in the presence of our enemies. So look for a pastor who prays, asking for the Lord's help, looking for him always to provide what we most desperately need. Well, the final characteristic we see here in Psalm 23 for a pastor to look for, seventhly, finally, you want a man who points you always to the Lord Jesus Christ. He always points you to Christ. Now, a couple summers ago, my family and I had a camping holiday, and we went to the Lake District. The weather was iffy, if I can put it that way, very Lake District-like. We happened, though, on this holiday to go along to a local sheepdog trial. Now, you might remember the film Babe from about 30 years ago. That's basically what we went along and saw, okay? But there was no pigs there, right? Now, I was struck that day by the sheepdogs. The sheepdog has one task, but it has two parts. The sheepdog is to listen to the shepherd, but then to direct the sheep to where the shepherd wants. That's what the sheepdogs were to do, right? The dog is kind of an extension of the shepherd, a servant of the shepherd, right? Directing sheep back to where the shepherd wants, according to the shepherd's goals. Well, to hopefully not mix my metaphors too much here, okay? Not too badly. Pastors are to do the same. They point you to Jesus. They want you to see his goodness and his love following you. They want you to see Jesus, who's preparing a house ahead of you for your blessing and your good. Verses 5 and 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what a shepherd does. Always directing your attention ahead to what the Lord Jesus is preparing for you, but reminding you of the goodness and love that follow you in Christ all the days of your life. This is what a pastor does. So you must ask yourself, as you consider any man, does he doggedly, pun intended, does he doggedly teach and preach Christ? Does he point us to the Lord Jesus? And if you're not sure, take a look at his past. Ask questions. Ask questions like, has he brought blessing where he's been before? Has spiritual life resulted on his path as he's journeyed following Christ? Have people under his care before grown in faith, grown in obedience to Jesus? Because the Lord Jesus tells us, doesn't he, that you'll know a man by his fruit. That's how you know. Well, there you have it. Seven attributes, as it were, from Psalm 23. This memorable psalm gives us seven helps in our pastoral search. So if you're thinking in the weeks and months ahead, what do we want in a pastor? Go back here. This vivid imagery gives you exactly the picture you need to look for It's not that complicated. It's pretty straightforward. This is what you're looking for. So in this process, will you go back to this passage? Will you go back to these questions? Will you evaluate a man not by your own standard, but by the Lord Jesus' standard, by our standard of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, just quickly, let me close with two final brief comments before we're done. First point for us to consider as we close is this. Recognize, in light of Psalm 23, that no man will perfectly meet this standard, will he? No man, not one. Any man you might consider in the days ahead will fail. Expect that. Expect him to let you down, both in the time of searching, as well as when he's properly appointed as pastor. Remember, you must always trust not in men, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ, who perfectly fulfills Psalm 23. He is dependable, the Lord Jesus. He is faithful. He will shepherd you. In fact, he's shepherding you now, just at this precise moment. So you must walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. Will you trust in him to shepherd you through the process, even as you seek to find a pastor? Trust in Christ. At the same time, this is what you want in a pastor, don't you? You want a man who wants to be this, and a man who's growing towards this. But the question is, are you willing to give a man time? Are you willing to give him time? So maybe he has the makings or the signs of a shepherd. If you give him time and space, he'll grow into it. Give him the chance. He'll need mentors. That's important. He'll need help and brothers around him. He'll need patience. He'll need space to repent when he sins. He'll need forgiving hearts to forgive him when he does. He'll make mistakes, but he will love you, and he will serve you for life if you let him do so. Look for a shepherd who wants to be this kind of man, who aims to follow Christ like this. Last thing to consider as we close. You may ask yourself, well, how can we get a sense of whether someone is this sort of man? How can we begin to even scratch the surface to understand with limited time to determine a shepherd's heart? How can we do that? Well, let me give you four quick tips, okay? First tip, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you ask the Lord to give you wisdom to find a shepherd, he'll give you the wisdom you need. Second tip, listen to what any man says. It's so important what is said, because the Lord Jesus tells us the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So if you want to know if a man has the heart of a shepherd, listen to his words. Does he care about you? Does he care about your soul? Does he care about bringing the word of God to you to refresh your soul? Listen to what he says. Thirdly, though, look out and ask good questions. Ask good questions. Think carefully about these matters. Right? Ask good questions, particularly about this man's reputation. 1 Timothy 3 says, any man who aspires to be an elder must have a good reputation with outsiders. That's what you're looking for. A man who's known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, as Acts 6 tells us. So look and ask good questions. Think carefully. Fourth tip, final tip. If you're not sure, does he have the heart of a shepherd? Seek godly counsel. Seek the counsel of other churches. Seek the counsel of others for input. Right? We know from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. They succeed. So seek to know, does this man who we're considering, do they have the heart of a shepherd or not? That's the key concern. That's what you're looking out for. Now, I'd argue that these are exciting days. These are exciting days for you as a church. And I'm blessed as the pastor of a sister church local to you to be along for the ride and to encourage you and to pray for you and to support you any way we can in the process. But let me encourage you to enter into the process of searching for a pastor with fear and trepidation. with carefulness, but also do so with joy and with faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus, who's the chief shepherd of the sheep. As God has led the church before, Psalm 23, he will lead you today, won't he? He will shepherd you through this process. Look to him, trust in him, and wait for him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much that we have your word to guide us with such clarity. Father, thank you that you are our good shepherd, that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid his life down for us as his sheep. Oh, Father, I pray for us. I pray for East Finchley Baptist Church in the days ahead, that they will think with carefulness and wisdom. They will look carefully, Father, to find a man who's the heart of a shepherd. Guide them and direct them in this process. And Father, I pray that you might bless them with a shepherd. Provide a man for them who loves them and who cares for their souls. Father, thank you that you're good in all things. Thank you that we can trust in you. We ask for your help in the days ahead. We ask it in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.